It is our pre-Thanksgiving show with our good friends up at the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com, a site where you can go to find out what's going on in South County and the immediate surrounding areas 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're joined by David and Marcy, and we welcome them in this morning. Good morning, David.
Well, good morning. Morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
It's my fresh killed turkey is sitting in the refrigerator waiting.
I'm going to get mine today.
I like that food drive that you were just mentioning down in Sharon. That's terrific.
It's been going on for 25 years, and listen to this. In 25 years, they've raised, we don't have the exact figure, but it's somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 for the food drive.
Wow.
Amazing. In 25, just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, wow. We actually have Berkshire Bounty. And
yeah.
The Berkshires is running a food drive, as they have several times since the beginning of this pandemic. It's actually going on now, and we have an ad from Berkshire Bounty, which if you click on, you get all, it's a right column ad on the Berkshire Edge, and if you click on it, you will find all of the directions for participating.
Yeah, it's important.
And they are raising thousands of pounds of food. I mean, they're overwhelmed.
Yeah, this year the food drive got 700 turkeys and 2 to 3 tons of dry and canned food. It's
amazing.
Just amazing. Right. Amazing.
Right. I think that the Berkshire Bounty in their August drive raised about 5,000 pounds
of
food.
Amazing. It's
much needed, and it disappears very quickly.
It does. Well, with that being said, let's get on to. I've got to ask you guys a question about this.
Yeah.
You guys. I live and work in South County. You understand it far better than I. Now, I'm somebody that knows Richard Solon, and I support the airport, and I'm someone who had my own pilot's license. What I can't understand why the select board would turn down the ability to actually protect the water basin in that area by having planes on cement inside, and yet it looks like you're going to approve another pot shop.
We have our priorities straight.
I really have to ask you about this because, I guess the pot story is a big story because that's not even a small town locally produced pot store that's going to open up. Really.
No. Right.
Well, you know, also, you know, it's a big revenue producer for the town, too, because they, as part of the licensing for marijuana shops, the town gets a cut of the sales.
Yeah, about 3%.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not... So they have an interest in the... you know, the town has an interest in, you know, people, you know, getting high.
Well, Theory
Might say.
Theory Wellness, which is the first, in its first 6 months of operation, owes the town $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, this was last year, in 2019. I mean, the town expected to receive $1 million after the first six months. Now, that's 3%. So you can imagine the kind of cash that's flowing through these pot shops.
It's amazing. And where this new shop is going to be is where, a former underwriter of ours, a jeweler, had moved to their shop.
McClellan,
And
it's a beautiful building.
Oh, it's
the old Christian Science Church, right?
It sits high on that hill overlooking that intersection and overlooking actually what's across the street from them, which is also a beautiful location.
The John Dewey Academy,
right,
which used to be it's a Berkshire cottage.
Yeah.
Anybody who drives through Great Barrington, you can't miss it. It's on the south side of the street if you're coming.
It's on the east side.
The east side of the street if you're coming from Connecticut, and it's got this beautiful long stone wall.
Yep.
Right on
Searle's
the side.
Searle's Castle.
Right.
And he's responsible for the water system.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah. So, anyways.
So I actually want to talk about a story that's not on our list for you, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
We posted it after David made the list. But, you know, the Berkshire Edge was producing a beautiful print magazine before the pandemic. And starting in the spring, we had to suspend the print version, because you know, this is a magazine about things to do, places to go and things to do. And when we were trying to go to print last April, it was impossible to write about places to go and things to do. And it, then, and also, it gets distributed free in high traffic locations. And unfortunately, there are no high traffic locations at the moment. So we have taken the magazine online, and over the next few days, we're going to be posting articles for our magazine section, and so we, a number of very interesting articles. But we posted the first one last night, and it's titled Holiday Happenings, and it is a list of vibrant activities going on in the Berkshires over the Thanksgiving and December holidays. And it will be updated regularly. So I just wanted to bring your readers' attention to that. And
And you can go right there and get tickets. And
yeah, you can go right to, and you can go right to our calendar also. And we, you know, our calendar is being updated daily with events that are taking place. So there's really a lot to do in the Berkshires. Much of it outdoors, but of course there are lots of concerts on Zoom, and very interesting concerts. People are really innovating in, you know, with what they can do online. So so watch for these. We're going to have another article called Black in the Berkshires. We have another article coming up, which is a kind of architectural tour of old mill buildings that have been subjected to what they call adaptive reuse. So they have been, they have found new purposes, new and interesting purposes, like Massmoca, but there are many others. So this is the Berkshire. This is actually Berkshire's Calendar magazine, which will be online until probably our next issue, which will be in the spring.
All right. It's amazing. You know, I think people don't understand what goes into operating either an online magazine or you cross up, you know, you have different patterns, like we not only have the radio station, but we've got our social media pages, our web page, mm-hmm. and our on demand page, and like you have your newspaper basically available 24 hours a day, updated all the time. But then you also have that magazine. People don't realize the amount of effort and money that is put into something like that.
Oh, right.
They just don't.
No, I know, and I.
Take it for granted, perhaps, and they enjoy it. But it is kind of a 24-hour a day enterprise.
Yes,
because,
and there are very few of us doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the telling factor. I mean, the amount of product that is coming out from a tiny, tiny staff is really quite remarkable, if I must say so myself. And I try to, you know, we have a membership drive. We are free. We're free to read. As I say, we are, the Edge is free to read, but not free to produce.
Yeah.
We have more costs than you would think.
Well, it's like with us, people think that we get paid by NPR, not the fact that we...
you pay NPR.
Oh, yeah, we pay NPR between $70,000 and $100,000 a year.
Yes, so, I know.
Plus, then we play on top of that the interconnection fee with the ability to receive the programs. But they think because we're an NPR station, we get in. We don't. All our funding is done locally by underwriters.
Ours also.
Yep. Yeah. It's just like you.
Ours
right.
is also. Yep. Ours is all local. I mean, it's our members, our advertisers, our realtors who list in our very popular real estate section, which comes out every Friday morning called Real Estate Friday. We are about to launch in 2 weeks a wedding directory for the Berkshires. So we have, you know, and our calendar, of course, is the best in the region, and it's updated daily. And everybody in the community posts their events on it, so there are hundreds and hundreds of events on our calendar right now. So if anybody's looking for things to do, the calendar on the Berkshire Edge is really the place to go to find out what's happening.
All right,
You can get there either from inside the Edge, you go to our menu and click on calendar, or it has its own URL, which is berkshirescalendar.com.
All right, let's go to local news that has a national impact, and that is your next story, talking about Steve Cohen, one of the other lawyers that were leading an effort to overturn the election with the Trump campaign.
They were fighting back Trump's effort to.
Steve Cohen is quite a high powered lawyer. He lives in Egremont, and he's his law office is actually the coffee shop in downtown Great Barrington. People can come and talk to him. He's there every morning.
Right.
But he is quite a powerhouse.
He specializes in complex litigation and corporate governance for clients all over the United States and overseas. So he's a very sophisticated lawyer.
Right. And he's been leading the effort to prevent Trump from sabotaging the outcome of this election.
Right.
And I think he's been successful
I think everybody has been successful. You know, Bill Maher on Real Time has been talking about this since the day President Trump was elected, that he wasn't going to go easy. And that was, everybody laughed at Bill Maher 4 years ago. The laughter really stopped about a year ago, and then it really stopped after the vote count was taken. But but it appears that enough cooler heads have prevailed where we don't have to worry about this being overturned now.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah,
you never know.
Well, it won't be overturned, but who knows what Trump will do.
Well, he's not going anywhere. He's going to Mar-a-Lago, and then we'll have to deal with it from there. But you know what? I'll still take that as a early Christmas present.
Well, he might be going to Tallahassee or wherever the state prison is.
Or Florida. I
think that'll take a long time. I think he'll outlive that with legal challenges.
Yeah, he's going to have, everyone is sure that he's going to either pardon himself or get Pence to pardon him against any forthcoming federal prosecution.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. But
there is still the state of New York.
Yep, that's exactly right.
A state and city.
They can only do.
Manhattan DA apparently has pulled together quite a case.
Well, let's talk about cases, and that's high crimes and misdemeanors.
And
Bernie Drew, how's he involved in this?
Well, he's talking about a case that is a 19th century cold murder case in West Stockbridge. And Bernie is just he's the historian of the Berkshires, and he just has these wonderful stories from our past, and every so often he writes one of these stories for us that recalls these instances of mystery and intrigue, and also just fascinating backgrounds on are what we take for granted here in the Berkshires. And this one is a 19th century murder case that was never solved. And so he tells us the story. And it's really fascinating.
And also...
It became also... ahead, Marcy.
No, I was just going to say that William Jennings... Is it William Jennings or William Cullen? Great Barrington poet William Cullen Bryant wrote a poem in 1825 called The Murdered Traveler, and it was based on this unsolved murder.
Yeah.
So...
Bryant was one of a 19th century poet who actually lived in Great Barrington.
Mm.
He was our poet laureate.
I didn't know that.
He was our poet laureate.
Right.
Great Barrington.
The Great Barrington poet laureate.
Well, we need a new one. In fact, I think the Edge is going to go on a campaign to name the town poet laureate. I think that's a great idea.
You can't do that because 50% of the people are going to complain.
Right.
No, but I mean, I think Great Barrington deserves a poet laureate.
It certainly does.
We've dreamed this up right this minute. Yeah, well, so it, right here on Robin Hood Radio, this is where it came from.
Well, I think you could start looking after January 1st when things will calm down and be a little quieter.
Right.
But it's funny, you know, Bernie Drew, with this thing with that, Bernie is also investigated in our northwest corner in the tri-state region.
Yeah.
There are a lot of old cold cases like this, a lot of mysterious murders and deaths and crime. And it really, when you look back at the history of this whole area, there are a whole bunch of those. So it's something that's just that's melded into our past.
Yeah, it is. And a long time ago, we did a story about people who have just disappeared and just never found.
Yeah.
That's another whole category of who knows what happened to them, but they just simply disappeared.
Well, let's go to your Business Monday feature.
Yes, we are now just as we have Real Estate Friday on the edge, we now have Business Monday. And we are building up, a collection of stories that appear on Monday, focusing on business. So, and we had a very interesting one this Monday that told actually two stories. One was that Senator Adam Hines has secured relief funds for local businesses that had been crippled by the pandemic, and there is information in this article about how to apply. I mean, there are grants of $5,000, $10,000, and $15,000 available. In addition, there's also a pot of money that's being administered by the Berkshire Regional Plan Commission, which is also still available to local businesses. So we want local businesses know that there are now two pots of money that they can apply to if they've been damaged by the COVID pandemic. But at the same time, in the same article, we looked at three different food-related businesses and how they are dealing with COVID, because there was very strong guidance in March, April, May, and June about restaurants opening and closing, but there has been less of it in this revival of the pandemic, and so their restaurants or food service businesses are really sort of making their own decisions about what to do. And so we talk about one restaurant which is closing completely until they're closing for the winter. And that's Alta in Lenox, which is now closing. We have another restaurant in Lee, the sports bar in Lee, which has turned completely to takeout. Nobody, even though they can have a 50% occupancy under the law, they now have to close. The other restriction is that all restaurants have to close at 9:30, so a sports bar really can't function if it has to close at 9:30. So,
you know, I think one of the stories, this is really interesting, Marcy, because I think one of the stories that we should be doing in the future pretty soon is how many of these restaurants are going to survive, because they have to really bulk up, you might say, during this spring and summer and fall, right, in order to get through the very lean winter.
Right.
And this year, they haven't been able to do that.
No, they haven't.
There's going to be a shakeout of a lot of places that people are familiar with.
Right.
And they're not going to survive this.
And when you consider who's been impacted the most, it is the hospitality industry. Restaurants,
absolutely.
Inns, people that rent rooms. Then think of the thousands of people that work at these businesses.
Yeah.
They've been affected. And even when restaurants are allowed to open, and do their limited hours and 50% seating. Because it's 50% seating, any profit margins that they might have made really go into basically just covering the costs of where they are.
Mm-hmm.
It is an industry that has just been ravaged by this, and time will tell, because you're right, kind of like, what are the long-term effects of COVID-19 on the body? Well, we're going to find out what the long-term effects of COVID-19 has on the restaurant and the hospitality industry, because it's devastating now, but I really think it's going to be even more devastating.
Well, it is. And you know, the Berkshires, of course, rely upon that tourist and entertainment.
Yeah, well, think of the millions of dollars that come into the area as a result of Tanglewood, which was not in operation this summer.
Oh, I don't think anybody has really examined. Let's say auditing.
Well, no, you look at Tanglewood, and you also look at Lime Rock. We probably missed having 75 to 100,000 people come to our area over the course of the summer that spent money.
It's incalculable. When you start looking at it with that sort of lens, it's incalculable. It's just the damage is just it's and the really the only thing to do, in my view, is not focus on it. Just like, all right, how are we going to push forward? Because otherwise, it's just it's just debilitating.
Well,
we'll have to see how businesses recover from this and how they reinvent themselves,
and how the federal government will dole out money in the future instead of most of the money being scoffed up by big businesses that masqueraded as small businesses. So there's a lot that there's a lot that goes into it that we'll have to see what happens over the course of the next couple of months. But we only have about 4 minutes left, and I want to get to your next story, because this is a story that really covers and encompasses upstate New York, adjacent to us, northwest corner of Connecticut, and of course your county, Berkshire County, Massachusetts, and that is the number of people that came out of the cities. I'm not only going to say New York; I'll say out of any major city.
Boston, New York. Listen, we're getting people from California, Texas. I mean, people are buying houses. The real estate brokers are almost out of inventory. It's amazing. I mean, ordinarily people have about 6 months worth of inventory. The brokers are down to less than 2 months worth of inventory. And our reporter, our managing editor, Terry Cowgill, did a very interesting story about whether this is being reflected in school enrollments. And it turns out that it is.
Yeah.
That, especially in private schools, the number of applications, the level of interest has gone way up as a result of this pandemic. And that is really good news, because it means that people with families are moving to the Berkshires. And, given the fact that we have been concerned about an aging population here, the fact that there are young people with families moving to the Berkshires is really wonderful news.
Yeah, and I had just to interject and to support that, one of the things that we had said earlier, because for years we have been bemoaning the
and how
is this supposed to continue? And back in March, April, as people started coming up here, we were discussing, well, who knew what one of the benefits was going to be, that it repopulated smaller areas. But that's exactly, I hate to say it, but that's exactly what's needed. I mean,
well, it was also aided by the fact that people can now work remotely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
which brings us to broadband.
Don't have to live in the city. They can live here and do their work too. So
that's remarkable. And this wouldn't have been possible even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And there are still areas in the Berkshires, and I'm sure there are also in Northwest Connecticut, where the internet service is terrible and those houses are not selling.
Yeah, it's exactly right, and we'll have to see what happens with all that. But we have to say goodbye now. But I wanted to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving and a safe Thanksgiving, of course. even though our work never stops, we're always active behind the scenes. It is a holiday period, and so the best to you, David and Marcy, for Thanksgiving.
And you
and your
family.
To you guys, too.
And you also.
Yeah, to be continued.
But The Edge will continue to publish, and Robin Hood Radio will continue to broadcast all during the weekend.
We will speak to you next week, all right?
Okay.
Take
Happy
care.
Thanksgiving.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air, theberkshireedge.com on the web.